Good morning, and welcome once again to Mornings for the Master, heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network. This is your Thursday morning edition. My name is Chris McElyea, your host. And on Mornings for the Master, each weekday, you have a different host and a different course of study. And on Thursdays, we are currently studying the book of 1 Samuel. Today, we're going to examine chapters 3 and 4. Now, if you happen to miss last week's program, you can go back to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website, and there you can pull up that previous program and catch up. But as we said, today we're going to be looking at chapters 3 and 4. Now, chapter 3, we find Samuel's call and his office. In this chapter, Samuel becomes God's prophet, his priest. Chapter 3 in verse 1 says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." Samuel would minister to the Lord his entire life. From the death of Moses to Samuel, God had not revealed much to man. The judges had been primarily civil leaders and not prophets. Now notice verses 9 and 10. "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" Now, as we mentioned, word of God being brought to men was rare at this time. And thus, the word to Samuel was a rarity, as verse 1 noted. God did not give much revelation in those days due to the rebelliousness of the times. But we find the qualities that made Samuel great were shown even in early childhood. In those days, others had prophesied, but there had been no prophetic office. The book of Acts, chapter 3, and verse 24 says, "Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days." Acts chapter 13 in verse 20. "After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet." Now, let's consider verses 2 through 4. "And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am.'" Samuel is called by God, and he responds to Eli. This happened on two other occasions. Verse 5. "So he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Eli realized that it was the Lord calling Samuel. Verse 9. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And the Lord answered, and Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant hears. Samuel told him to answer, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Now we would note that the call from God today is in the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The call in the gospel is to the whole world. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16 says, And he said to them, Go and do all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. No one is called differently today, though many would claim to be. Samuel's response to God should be that of all of us. Always it should be obedience. Samuel spoke or acted in obedience. Can you speak truthfully what Samuel said when he said, Speak, Lord, your servant heareth? And now we see that God promises to fulfill the condemnation that was spoken to Eli through the prophet earlier. Verse 11, Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Now, the words of that unnamed prophet back in chapter 2, verses 26 and 27 are about to be fulfilled. And notice that his condemnation was for the fact that he did not restrain his vile sons. Verse 13 says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows." Because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. Parental efforts to influence children for good should never stop. These sons were full grown. Yet Eli was condemned because he did not restrain them. This would seem to indicate the problem had begun years before. Consider that Eli was their father, and he had parental authority to restrain them. But also consider that Eli was the high priest and could have disciplined them for priestly misconduct. But also consider that Eli was a judge of Israel, and he had civil authority to discipline them. But the truth is that Eli did not restrain them in any way. Verse 15. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things he said to you." So when he was asked by Eli regarding the vision, Samuel told all. Verse 18. Then Samuel told him everything, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So we find that Eli is resigned to the Lord's will. In fact, Eli's reaction in verse 18 is a commendable resignation to the Lord's will, even though it was going to mean hurt upon him. But so we find that God was with Samuel, and none of his words would fall to the ground. Verse 19 says, "So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground." Even during Samuel's training, he came to be recognized by the nation as a prophet. Everyone knew Samuel was to be a prophet. Notice verse 20. "And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord." And as we close chapter 3, let's remember back now to verses 11 through 13. "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. For a certainty, the house of Eli was headed for doom." And so we move to chapter 4. Chapter 4 through 7 records Samuel's times and his acts. In chapter 4 specifically, the highlight would be that the Ark of the Covenant is captured by the Philistines. God sends word whereby Israel meets the Philistines in battle. Verse 1, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines encamped at Aphek. Israel would be defeated terribly. Verse 2 says, then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. God is with and blesses those who are faithful to Him. If we are not faithful, then we have no right to expect His blessings. The elders, in wonderment, decide they will bring out the Ark of God, and they felt it would save them. Notice verse 3. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. It was the corruption of Eli's sons that led to Israel's defeat, and also the loss of God's throne, the Ark of the Covenant. Notice verses 10 and 11. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Notice now, back to verse 4, and let's pick up there. So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean? Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. So Eli's wicked sons brought the Ark forward. Israel shouted, and the Philistines are then in fear. According to verse 8, they had heard of God's fighting for Israel against the Egyptians from historical accounts. Verse 8 said, woe to us! Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Now notice the Philistine idea of gods in plural. This, of course, would be in keeping with their own feelings about God. But there is a call for Philistine courage in verse 9. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight. And so in that battle, the Israelites would be smitten. Verse 10, so the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. The sons of Eli are slaughtered during the battle, and the ark of God is captured. Verse 11, also the ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. The news of the battle and the death of his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, would also bring about the death of Eli. Pick up with verse 12. Then a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line that same day and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. Now when he came, there was Eli sitting on a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, what does the sound of this tumult mean? And the man came quickly and told Eli. Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. Then the man said to Eli, I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line. And he said, what happened, my son? So the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. Then it happened, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. So Eli, upon the messenger bringing that word, fell and broke his neck and died. Verse 19. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, do not fear, for you have borne a son. But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of the God has been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of the Lord has been captured. So Eli's daughter-in-law bore a son, and the name the child was given signified what had happened. The glory is departed from Israel. Eli's grandchild was named Ichabod, which means no glory. The glory of God was then gone from the tabernacle. It is a wonderful and blessed thing to have a right sense of what is glory, what is of God, and of promised blessings from God. And what a horrible tragedy to lose it because of sin. Now, in the latter part of our program today, let's now consider chapters 5 and 6. Again, we're still in the section that is dealing with Samuel's times and his acts in chapters 4 through 7. In chapter 5 now, we're going to discover that the Ark of God was a curse to the Philistines. Verse 1, then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. So the Ark of God was placed in the house of the Philistine God. Verse 2, when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in its place again. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both the palms of its hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any who come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. The Philistines' god Dagon would fall twice, being broken the second time, and scaring the Philistines away from Ashdod. Verse 6. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, the ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is harsh toward us and Dagon our God. So God smote the Philistines with tumors, or boils in the King James, and they knew that the God of Israel had done it. Verse 8, therefore they sent and gathered to themselves all the lords of the Philistines, and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried away to Gath. So they carried the ark of the God of Israel away. So it was, after they had carried away, that the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he struck the men of the city, both small and great, and tumors broke out on them. Obviously, the Philistines had had all that they wanted of the ark, and so they purposed to dispose of the ark. They decide to carry it to Gath while they are covered with tumors or boils. Verse 10, therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron. So it was, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought the ark of the God of Israel to us to kill us and our people. they decide to deposit the ark in Ekron, much to the dismay of the Ekronites. The Ekronites protested vehemently against it, and so a new plan would be devised to send the ark back to Israel. Verse 11. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it go back to its own place, so that it does not kill us and our people." For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there, and the men who did not die were stricken with the tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Indeed, many of the people of Ekron would die because of the presence of the ark, and those that did not die were struck with tumors or boils. God's system and God's ways must be safeguarded. If we lose the old paths, we lose our glory. Indeed, we must behold and abide by the pattern. And now we move to chapter 6. And we see that after 7 months, the Philistines send the ark back to Israel. Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priest and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place." So after 7 months, Philistine priests and diviners were asked just how to return the ark. We should note that God's displeasure with his people does not mean thereby that then he is then pleased and will bless the opposition. The sinful are still the sinful. Let's pick up with verse 3. So they said, "If you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return it to him with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then they said, "What is the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For the same plague was on all of you and on your lords." They devised the plan to send the ark back to Israel with an appropriate trespass offering of 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats. Verse 5, "Therefore you shall make images of your tumors and images of your rats that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, from your gods and from your land." We are seeing a warning nest to not harden the hearts as did Pharaoh. Verse 6, "Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts, when he did mighty things among them? Did they not let the people go that they might depart?" Notice the Philistines' knowledge of the events of Israel and Egypt. The word had passed among the nations. Verse 7, "Now therefore, make a new cart, Take two milk cows which have never been yoked, and hitch the cows to the cart, and take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart, and put the articles of gold which you are returning to him as a trespass offering in a chest by its side. Then set it away and let it go. And watch. If it goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance. They were to make immediate preparation with cart, animals, and jewels. They were sent to see if it arrived in Israel, and that would show that the God of Israel was behind their torment. Then the men did so. They took two milk cows and hitched them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they set the ark of the Lord on the cart, and the chest with the gold rats and the images of their tumors. Then the cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right hand or the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Then the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stood there. A large stone was there. So they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the chest that was with it, which were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone. Then the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices the same day to the Lord. The animals transported the ark to Israel. There was great rejoicing, and sacrifices were offered in celebration. Verse 16, so when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned as a trespass offering to the Lord. One for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, one for Ekron. And the golden rats, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines, belonging to the five lords, both fortified cities and country villages, even as far as the large stone of Abel, on which they set the ark of the Lord, which stone remains to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. Seeing the ark of the Lord properly placed, the Philistines returned back to their place of abode. Verse 19, then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. God struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they looked into the ark. The Israelites were not authorized to look into the ark. Man needs to learn to remember that the law of God is steadfast. The passage of time does not set aside an established rule of the Lord. Verse 20, And the men of Beth Shemesh said, Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall it go up from us? So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, The Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it with you. The men of Beth Shemesh quickly realized that the blessings of the Lord were set against them. Then they sent to the men of Kirjath-Jearim to come and receive the ark. The men of Beth Shemesh realized the ark of God needed to be placed in innocent hands. And so we'll stop there for today's program. Next week, if the Lord wills and we're together, we'll pick up in 1 Samuel with chapter 7. I hope that you'll join me. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and that it'll be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.